Coming up on TMS, I test Brian in very backwards ways.
Noah is getting all kinds of hell from some people.
What does it take for people to eat 20-foot sausages?
Florida man drinks a lot and then does some terrible things.
You might not know James Rebhorn, but you know everything he's ever done.
Oh, yeah. Mila and Ashton are expecting a 70s baby.
Major spoilers.
Geek food.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Work is proceeding on the crudely conceived idea of an instrument that would not only supply inverse reactive current for use in unilateral phase detractors, but would also be capable of automatically synchronizing cardinal grammeters. Such an instrument is the turbo-encabulator. This was the idea. 41 monastically spaced grouting brushes were arranged to fade into the rotor slipstream a mixture of high S-value phenyl hydrobenzamine and 5% remonitrive tetraiodohexamine.
Ermir Gerd. This is The Morning Stream asking, do dogs have brains? Because I really want to know.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to The Morning Stream. It's TMS. And that was Scott Fletcher with a brand new little bumper there. And he got it wrong. So I just want you to... He didn't get it wrong.
Oh,
it's
really?
Like, he got it right, but the girl always gets it wrong. So listen carefully here.
Okay. This right. is The Morning Stream asking, do dogs have brains? Because I really want to know.
The way it really goes is...
Yeah, he's way too coherent. he's grammatically accurate compared to...
Well, let's play her.
Do right. dogs have brains? Because I, like, seriously wanted to know.
See, it's totally different.
She jumps back and forth between the present tense and the past tense.
She's a time traveler.
She's past dense.
She's past dense, is the truth, if it was ever spoken on this show before.
That audio intro you played?
Yeah.
With all the complicated terminology yeah. and jibber jabber?
Yeah.
That's what it's like for me every time Tom Merritt talks. Not that's, just about Bitcoin, but...
That's just Wednesdays for you?
Yeah, exactly. Insert the words net neutrality mm-hmm. or Bitcoin
sure.
or a Flappy Bird or any...
Flappy Bird. You know what's weird? You just said the term Flappy Bird, and because you were saying other technical terms and because my head was set to only hear... like high-tech things,
yeah.
I heard floppy drive in my head.
Wow.
Yeah, weird. Isn't that weird? Like, weird. I actually heard it. I didn't... It isn't that I just thought you were going to say it or, oh, you went there. It wasn't like that. My brain interpreted what you said as floppy drive, but then a part of me said, no, he said floppy bird.
That was in the tech parlance. Right
yeah,
there,
yeah, yeah. So. Exactly. Way to go. You've done it again, Sherlock, or whatever I'm saying. Hey, it's the show. It's The Morning Stream. It's Monday, 8:03 a.m., Mountain Time Zone, the only time zone that matters, March 24th, 2014. And it's finally warming up, which means I can finally enjoy the weather because I hate winter. Have I mentioned that before? I don't like it. Not
no,
a fan.
I'm sick of it, too.
Not a this, fan.
It's felt like a really, really long winter.
Doesn't it? And I don't think it has even been all that long. It just feels like it has been.
Yeah.
Like it didn't.
Every time you start getting some nice weather, it's like, oh, by the way, get ready for the weekend because mm-hmm. we're going to get another 2 to 3 inches of snow.
That's right. And I think overall we had less actual snow than we typically do. We had that one big week and a half or something of really pretty bad storms. But for the most part, it hasn't been too bad for us. Mm-hmm. But I still have this feeling that I have been stuck in the blizzard for weeks and months, and it's just now time to come out of the hibernation.
Winter is coming, Jon Snow.
Oh, great. That show. Doesn't that start up soon? Next month?
Soon, yep. In a
couple weeks?
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say a couple weeks, beginning of April.
I'm downright excited about
that. Oh, me too.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Me too.
Bring back the Game of the Thrones. All right, everybody, we're here to do a show. There's no getting around it, and we got things to talk about, stuff to do. I got a little challenge for you this morning.
Oh, okay. I love challenges.
I know you do. You're a trivial man.
Sure.
And you have trivial.
Trivial
desires, right?
Very, very trivial.
Very trivial.
Things I do in life.
And it's part of the backwards game we played last week. Remember the whole backwards tracking
oh, yeah,
stuff?
We were trying to, right, we were listening to ourselves played backwards, mm-hmm. and we were, yes.
Uh-huh. I have a taste for it now. And,
we were talking about the slime.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And people were interpreting it or whatever. So I thought it'd be fun to pull out something you said last week. So it's okay. recent, should be recent in your memory.
Okay.
I'm going to play the backwards version of it. And your job is to see if you can interpret what it is forward.
Oh, fun. All right, good.
It's only 2 seconds long. Easy. Okay. Well, in theory, this is easy.
Yeah.
I would have a hard time with it, but let's see if you can pull it off. So here is Brian. You're saying something backwards. I'll give you a hint. It was during an intro of a previous episode. It was one of the things you read during the opening read. So here you go. Check it out.
Snap the wall, everything that's in the sun.
Okay, I'm going to play it again.
Snap the wall, everything that's in the sun.
Thoughts?
Feelings? I have absolutely no idea.
Now, I tried to come up with a method to this.
Yeah.
Where you could start low and then end high, maybe there's a way to kind of reverse engineer that. And
well, and I was thinking that it could be like, you know, if I can pick out one cluster of sounds, then I could flip those sounds backwards. But it's
your brain doesn't want to let you do it. I just love hearing it. All right. Okay. So it's going to be impossible, right? There's no way you're
going to
get it.
It's going to be impossible. Yeah. What was it, by the way?
So here you go. This is, I'll play the backwards way first, then the new way, or the forward way, so people can hear what it was. So here it is backwards.
Snap the wall, everything that's in the sun.
Here it is forward.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Oh, jeez.
Now listen to it repeatedly back to back. This is kind of fun. Here you go.
Snap the wall, everything that's in the sun. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Snap the wall, everything that's in the sun. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
And if we look here, we can clearly see the magic bullet.
Yeah, the leopard.
To the right.
Brian is the leopard. Anyway, I had a good time with that. Oh, and I did it with a bunch of other stuff that I'll spread it out. I'm not going to blow my fascination with reverse masking.
You're gonna spill all your candy in the lobby?
No, that's a good way to put that.
I love that phrase.
But I'll save it for other days when we play the game again of Let's Hear Brian Backwards. All right. Hey, so aside from that, we actually have someone I want to talk about that's kind of interesting.
Okay.
That Noah movie with your
Russell Crowe.
Your Russell Crowe there in there.
And your
Superman's dad.
Your Hermione Granger.
Yeah. You got your Harry Peter in there.
Is Jennifer Connelly in that, or am I thinking of... Okay.
It's
I know they were in Beautiful Mind together.
Yeah, it's required because the director's Darren Aronofsky, and you're required to have her in everything you make.
Wow, she's his, she's his Owen Wilson.
Totally, yeah.
She's his...
She's his Bill Murray to Wes Anderson.
Right, or your, or his Christian Bale.
Oh, yeah, right. Christian Bale for, who does him all the time?
Christopher Nolan.
He kind of had to for
Tom's
three of those.
Hart, actually. He's a Thomas Hardy is probably the better way of saying it.
The Tom Hardy, yeah. No, you know what? Even better, the dude that what made American Hustle, David O. Russell made American Hustle.
There you go. Yeah.
He's for, actually all his actors.
She's for Jennifer Lawrence and Bradley Cooper.
And everyone. yeah. So she, this movie, it's coming out. It's got some early screenings. Some critics have seen it. Mm-hmm. And so far, according to SMH.com, in their entertainment section, this is a Australian online website thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know what SMH stands for. I could probably look it up.
SMH, yeah, I
don't know. The Noah hype cavalcade continues full force ahead of this week's U.S. and Australian release with an early review calling it, quote, vital and audacious, unquote, amid continuing outrage from Christian groups. As reviews start to emerge, The Hollywood Reporter told critic Todd McCarthy, The Hollywood Reporter's critic, Todd McCarthy, he's not a critic of The Hollywood Reporter. He's Hollywood Reporter's critic. His possession there.
Okay. I'd like to meet a critic of The Hollywood Reporter, actually.
I could give you one right now if you want one. Was full of praise for the $160 million epic. He said it pushed aggressive environmentalism, which completely omitted any mention of the name God altogether. Not even one mention.
Really?
Although the Genesis account of Noah, I'd have to go look to make sure, but I'm pretty sure it doesn't mention God either.
I was going to say, would the...
By name.
Right. I mean, they say he, right? Yeah. And
Capital hims and he's.
Lots of capital hims and he's. It's kind of like in a world...
In a world.
In a world where... we, at this juncture, at this point in our lives, look back on the biblical stories and say, God, yeah, God, Jesus, blah, blah, blah.
Right, right.
At the time, though, it'd be like Walking Dead in a world without the word zombies.
Yeah, what would it
be?
You
call them walkers. You call them biters. You call them whatever.
Yeah. Nobody says zombies.
I just compared God to zombies. I'm going to hell.
Great. And you're going to get emails. But here's the more important thing. So people are all upset. Let's see. Whereas for us, this is another quote. A cough I can't get rid of this morning. Whereas for a century, most Hollywood filmmakers have tread carefully and respectfully when tackling big, biblical projects and big budget epics. I can't talk today. Aimed at a massive audience, director Darren Aronofsky has been daring, digging deep to develop a bold interpretation of a tale which, in the original, offers a lot of room for speculation and invention. He added that conservative and liberal-minded followers of faith will find plenty to fumigate about here.
Fulminate, fumigate,
flatulate. Right-wing U.S. radio host Glenn Beck said the film was, quote, dangerously disinformation. Dangerous disinformation. I'm just making words up. I'll just make it up. I don't know why. What, I had a pancake this morning. There was something weird in that thing. I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah.
And that children, he says, that children would believe the version of the film adaptation over the Bible story told to them by their parents, he says. He added he has not seen the film and has no intention
because to. Because kids are stupid.
And he hopes it's a massive failure. So in typical form, Glenn Beck's an a-hole. But here's the main point I wanted to make. That if anyone is taking ownership of Glenn Beck, that's your own problem, and you can email me all you want. I don't care.
Somebody please take ownership of Glenn Beck.
Yeah, please. If someone please pick up your Glenn Beck.
We'll just leave him at the lost and found, yeah. Please.
There's our lost Glenn Beck here at the front office.
He's wearing a suit and tie and keeps saying, do it live.
Yeah, do it live. Different guy, but that's all right.
Oh, right.
You're thinking of Bill O'Reilly. Anyway.
Bill O'Reilly, yes.
So Glenn Beck says all this. Who cares? I don't care about that. I'm actually genuinely, I have a real question about this. Why do Christian groups have a problem with this particular story? And the reason I ask that question, and people can maybe fill me in, or why they have a problem with this interpretation. And although, also don't you kind of have to see it first? I feel like you got to see it before you can be outraged, but whatever. But if you're outraged out there, email me and tell me why exactly you're outraged by this film. Is it because you've been told it doesn't use the word God and therefore something up, or is it something else? I'm more curious because most of the time when I talk to my ultra sort of friends that are, you know, claim to be born again Christians or whatever, they kind of disown the Old Testament. They kind of don't even like looking in there very much because oftentimes a lot of that stuff is just plain old flies in the face of the New Testament stuff. Or it's just, you know, not, doesn't jive with the whole Jesus thing or whatever, because it's all sort of, you know, Mosaic law and all these, you know, walk 50 feet to poop in the dirt and make sure you bury it 3 feet or we'll cut your feet off or whatever, that kind of stuff.
Right.
So it's a lot of different, it's a different interpretation mainly of just sort of the whole gospel thing and all that. So I'm genuinely curious why anybody would be upset about this. Now, you're always, someone's going to be upset. When Mel Gibson had his Passion of the Christ deal, you had Christians and non-Christians upset. You had Jewish leaders upset. You had everybody's upset about everything. Oh, they beat him up too much. It was too violent. It wasn't violent enough. It should have been worse. You know, the Jews were shown in a terrible light. No, they were actually not. Like, I know there's always going to be a bunch of loud argument one way or the other, and these are hot topics, but what is it exactly about the story of Noah and an Old Testament tale in general that's got Christians all worked up? I'd really like to know.
Yeah.
So write in and tell us.
Yeah, I'm curious.
I'm not calling you out. This is not me going, what is wrong with you people? That is not me doing that. I know it's easy to jump to that conclusion because the Glenn Beck part, I think Glenn Beck is kind of a terrible influence.
Sure.
I think he says kind of awful things and ends up, and it has a very rabid following, and people can end up doing dumb things because of Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck is bad representation for he speaks for people that do not want Glenn Beck speaking for him. Is what I'm saying.
Right.
So separate him.
Kind of going back to my earlier point about not mentioning God in this movie,
yeah,
and that having people up in arms. So I took a class in high school called Bible and then Modern Mythology. It was like a two. You know, on one semester we study the Bible, we went all the way through it. We, you know, analyzed it from a very
like a historical point of view, or?
Yes, exactly. Okay, like sure. An objective point of view.
Sure.
And then the second half, we did Greek mythology and kind of compared the things between the two. Now, this I can't remember, but does God at any point in the Bible say, "This is God," or "God here," or, you know, "Hi, I'm God"?
Maybe like, not, does he ever, maybe not does, in that way, but I'm trying to think.
But does he give, like, does he name himself? Because it's one of those things where God is the name, but also the noun, the description, right?
Right.
He is God. He is
right.
A God.
Right. I think it's kind of a deal where, because there are lots of places where you could say, well, hold on now. We're just talking about King James translation here.
Right.
So
right.
A lot of that stuff got lost in translation. Or here's this part of the Old Testament where he's referred to as Elohim or something. And here's a version where, or here's a bunch of people who interpret the entirety of the whole thing that God is Jesus. Jesus is God. They're all one. And there's an entire another group of people who think these are separate individuals. And this one claiming of we are one is the claiming that we are God. But then somebody might say, no, that means they're one in purpose. And you can have, there are a billion interpretations. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. That's kind right. of the issue is that I kind of, here's what I wish, Brian. I wish all of us, me, you, everybody, would take the Bible and look for the bits that say, do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Exactly.
Or, hey, be nice to people.
Be excellent to each
other.
Yeah,
how about a little charity once in a while? Like, if we could focus in on that business, things would go a whole lot better. Instead of like, well, as you can see here in Leviticus, if you make out with a parakeet and two Cherokees witness it, then four chickens will fall from the sky and nine donkeys will yell your name. Like, great. What impact does that exactly have on today when I go to Walmart and I bump into an old lady? How should I treat her? Should I focus on those bits maybe? Maybe
when
I should.
Go to the index, scroll through the index, Walmart. Nope, not mentioned. But it also doesn't mention Steve, so there goes that argument too.
I just don't know. I don't know why you get all worked up about a movie about Noah, which is such an interpretive thing anyway.
Yeah.
Like, what was the world being flooded? Was it the Mediterranean? Because that's as far as Noah could see. Was it like 50 square miles? Was it the entire Earth, as everybody, many would have you think? Was it really every animal 2x2 in that thing? Was it all made up? Were there 50? Was it Waterworld? Was Kevin Costner in this? Did he pee on a tree and then drink it after? Isn't that what happened? He peed on a tree, right?
That's right. Yes, he did. Indeed, he does.
All right, great. Anyway, I am just actually genuinely curious why this is causing a freak out. Is it just a standard thing to freak out, and that's just what you do when anything's brought up? And again, take Glenn Beck out of the picture here. He's not willing to see it. He has no intention to, and hopes it's a massive failure. His opinion means nothing to me when he can't even.
Oh, no kidding. So is he afraid? Is his foundation of faith so shaky that he's afraid that if he sees this movie, it's going to change his mind about what he believes?
I'm sure what he thinks is nothing. I'm sure what he thinks is he has to toe the line of whatever his mode is so he makes as much money as possible, and he's just fine where he's at. No TV commentator needs. Nobody's got any like altruistic motives here. He's got a job to do. He's a character, and he has to play it. And I don't hold that against him. He can do whatever he has to do. You got to do what you got to do to pay for your giant house and all your money. It's fine. And have all your money. It's great. You've earned it. You built the thing. You built an empire. You've earned every penny of that. It's not the kind of money I'd want, but you've earned it, and that's great. Have it. Do what you got to do with it. But it's not like Glenn Beck sitting around going, what am I going to do for my people? It doesn't work that way. So if anyone thinks that, crack smokers. But in this particular case, Glenn Beck, I think, is just simply saying this, again, in keeping with his character, much like, you know, Stephen Colbert does, because it's kind of the same thing. He is basically saying, I wouldn't associate myself with it at all because, well, the reason he's doing it is because he's being told by someone else what the movie's about and that God's not mentioned. That's enough for him to say, I need to take a huge stand and not go. And he'll probably rile up a bunch of followers not to go see it. It's all fine. Who cares? I just want to have some objective conversation with people who have a real point about this. So I don't want to talk to the Glenn Becks of the world. I want to talk to real people out there who maybe are a Christian or any other affiliation or, whatever, that see some concern in this, and I would like to know why. Let's have an actual conversation, totally. An exchange of ideas.
And I'm curious, if they don't use the word God, do they use other terms for him, like the Lord or Heaven Man?
Heaven Man. What's his power? Give me Heaven Man's powers.
Everything is Heaven Man.
Excelsior even invented that word. Oh my gosh, I forgot to tell you. I started reading old X-Men comics, and I mean issue one.
Oh, really?
Like first one out of the gate.
Wow, okay.
And it's because I got that Marvel Unlimited app.
Which issue one are you talking about? The
the first issue ever, yes, of Stan Lee and what's his name?
Jack Kirby.
Jack Kirby doing their thing.
Yes.
That stuff is hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
Hilarious. Yeah. Like, his dialogue is so... I mean, there's no wonder we're just constantly going Excelsior and yelling it with our fist in the air.
Yes. Oh, like the Stan Lee introductions, mm-hmm, and stuff. Yes.
Yeah, they're ridiculous. And the whole thing would be like, what did Jack Kirby even bother drawing this jet being taken down by a mind missile if Stan Lee was just going to do a giant word bubble that obscured half of it, explaining that the word bubble thing was going to blow up the jet? I mean, like, he was just so verbose. It was just constantly going, like, Magneto would go, "Ah, well, they think they've gotten me this time, but because I'm standing right here with my magnetic pulse, I'm able to..." Bat, 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 bat. It's like this descriptive thing.
Yes. Oh, you got to love that. Like the...
It's great.
The over-explanation.
And,
yeah.
And the word bubble would cover like half his head. Like, it's like a headless, right, Magneto pontificating about how he's going to do his next move. It was really... It's lots of fun. So I, for whatever reason, I went down a deep rabbit hole and started reading all these old 63, 64 issues.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. I was getting
I do like when they start... I mean, I read a bunch of those too, and we had like the old collections of them. George gave them to me. That's actually probably what got me hooked on X-Men, as my favorite of the Marvel properties. But it's the... oh, God, I can't remember his name. The artist... And the writer and the artist team who took over in like the issues, you know, from 60 or 50 all the way until they started doing reprints. There was a big chunk where they were numbering the issues sequentially, but they were reprinting
old stuff.
Old stuff, yep. Like all the way leading up until the introduction of the new X-Men,
yeah,
is all numbered reprints. So 94, they introduced the all new, all different X-Men.
Yeah.
But 93 was a reprint of like issue 61 or something like
that. It's really weird. Yeah. I remember that as well. And they're all in here. They're all in this app.
Oh, and, see, I got to go back and read those.
And what sent me back is I finished the Whedon run in 04, right? By the way, well, this is a whole nother conversation, but that they left that thing cliffhanging forever. Like, they just left me hanging. They brought in the whole they brought in the next writer and artist and pretended like it never happened. It's like, what are you guys doing to me? That killed me. Anyway, right, I forgot how much that bugged me at the time, and I read it again. I went, oh yeah.
And ironic name. No, I'm talking about before Claremont and Byrne, before issue 64.
Right.
Now, Claremont and Byrne, my favorite run, and Dave Cockrum, my favorite run of the X-Men. Like everything from issue 101 all the way through until like 140. When Dave Cockrum came in, I like Dave Cockrum as well, but
yeah, that stuff was special. You're right.
Yeah,
and I'm going to get to all that stuff. I'm reading it all.
Paul Smith.
Mm. I'm reading it, every bit of it. I'm going to read the whole damn thing. But here's the fun bit. By the way, that app is great, and people should get it. The only thing that kept me from doing that is I played a bunch of that infamous Second Son on the PlayStation 4 over the weekend.
Oh, yeah. How do you like that? Oh, Len Wayne really and Neil Adams. Good. That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, that's all what right. you're thinking of.
Sorry.
It's really good. That game is
yes,
good.
Yes, it is.
You play a little bit? You do a little bit?
Oh, I played it. I got, I'm knee deep in Seattle, man. Yeah. I'm loving it.
I just took down the I'm only about 3 hours in, but I took down the Space Needle.
Oh, really? Spoiler. Haven't gotten to that yet.
Spoiler.
Well, I figure. I mean, you look at that thing on the horizon.
Yeah.
Now I'm still cleaning up Queen Anne area and, you know, ooh, look for the secret, ooh, the spy.
And you want to do it all. I love it. I love all that crap. That game is great. It's beautiful. It's just amazing looking. I'm way into it.
Yeah.
It's really good.
The the best voice acting and...
Yeah, they're good.
And
it's Troy Baker, facial, you know.
Troy Baker? Who's
yeah, he's the voice of everything these days. But he was, what's his name in not Left 4 Dead? What was the...
The Last of Us?
The Last of Us, thank you. Played the main dude
Which
there.
I haven't played yet.
He played the Joker in the last Batman game. He was, he's a big dude. Big time successful voice man. And him and cool. Liam on the weekends played D&D together. So that's kind of cool.
Very cool.
But they've mocapped their faces and stuff. It's intense.
So well done. Yeah. That is just beautiful. Who's doing the voice of his brother? Do you know?
Yeah, I forgot his name though, but it's another guy you'd know, and he does a million things.
I totally recognize that guy's voice. Yeah. I mean, there's sometimes when he sounds like John Hamm, but I know it's not John.
A little Hamm. Nolan North in there a little bit, but not quite. All those guys kind of have a little Nolan in them. But it's really, really 60 frame per second, beautiful game. Just finally a game that says, hey, this is a dedicated next gen machine and it can look like it. And it looks just incredible. Yeah. And the gameplay is great. They stripped out all the stuff I hated about the old ones and just kept in all the fun bits. And it's rad. People should play it. And if you can deal with a little bit of a hipster freaking sockhead wearing dork, if you can live with that.
he's a little Jesse Pinkman.
Yeah. A little Pinkman-esque, a little just millennial guy, you know. But if you can get past that, it's fine. The rest of it's great. Let's call Daryl.
Yeah.
We have no damn choice. We have to do it. And I figured out what caused the lockup last week.
Oh, yeah.
VNC client. I got to figure that out. That screwed me up. So right now I'm going to step away from the microphone.
It was that whole thing of like saving you from going to the other machine to load people in.
Yeah. Oh. How great is that?
Todd.
All right, here it comes.
Oh, gnome-wise.
I think it might be the client. I can get another client.
Yeah.
But let's call Daryl. Let's get this show under the road. Show under the road, on the road. Stump a Trek Nerd, brought to you by
a new legend created by Ron Newcomb, a huge fantasy fan and award-winning director with the vision and skills to bring this bold and gritty tale into reality. Together, with your help, the team of creative minds, talented craftsmen, and actors can greenlight this epic fantasy, The Rangers. Support their Kickstarter at therangersfilm.com.
Daryl.
Yes.
What's going on, man?
No, I'm just listening to a little podcast here.
Mm.
I got a live one? Are you listening to this one? Are you listening to some Twit?
No. Okay, good.
This one.
Drobo! Somebody asked you about Drobo yesterday.
I know. That was a great question over the weekend. Funny. And they included so many people in the Twitter reply that I only had like about 12 characters to respond to it.
That's true.
At Scott Johnson, at Coverville, at Genie, at...
Yeah, if you want everybody in there, you had to do it. Sometimes I'll just break tradition and just talk to the guy, and that's it.
I should have, because,
Daryl, I have my favorite clip of yours for a very long time. Somebody sent this in. I think it was Ice Worm, and it cracks me up, so I'm going to play it for you. Here we go.
That was your dong.
That was your dong.
That was your dong.
There's something just understated about it that I like. He's just so relaxed.
That was your dong. the thing that got in the car door. I don't know.
Oh, is that what it was? I don't know. Daryl is here. He's a Trek nerd. He does Star Trek trivia. And I'm excited about it. And he also put up a weird photo of him as a kid doing Legos with a devil cat. So look for that on Twitter. So here you go, Daryl. Let's give you a question. Today's Star Trek question is a Next Generation one. So we're back to the next gen here. In the Next Generation episode Night Terrors, the Enterprise is looking for a missing vessel, science vessel to be specific. The ship hadn't been heard from or seen since they issued a distress call 29 years earlier. Which vessel is the Enterprise looking for? Is it the USS Sheffield, the Concorde, the Sarajevo, or the Britain?
Britain.
Is it
Britain?
I say Britain.
You'd say Britain? Well, this is awful early for you to say Britain, isn't it? Well, before you do that, let's...
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
See that weird sucker we got? That big sucker? Yeah. I got to grab it, actually. Hang on. Right over here.
Grab that sucker. By the horns. Oh, yeah, because we didn't have any hot water for tea, did we? None of us planned on hot water?
Oh.
I got it.
Okay.
Okay, let's take a look here. It is.
That was your dong.
Oh, I know. It was
your dong. We'll tee it up tomorrow with some hot water and make tea.
Yeah, tea tomorrow. Kalatina Gold, Alaska Birch Syrup, Birch Mama, All Day Sucker.
$2. Birch Mama.
These are $2. I still have a tag on mine.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
So, wow, somebody spent $2 plus shipping, plus all that other stuff. That was really nice.
Well, look at these ingredients. Sugar, milk, birch, syrup. Butter, corn syrup, less than.
These don't seem like a sucker in the traditional sense. Like, this is a big patty on a stick, really.
It is. That's exactly what it is. It's a syrup patty.
I can't get it out. Here we go. So more of the Canadian delights here.
Trying to figure out a way to get this.
My Foley work. That sounds like rain. Doesn't that a little bit? No, not really.
It sounds like chocolate rain.
A little like rain.
That was your dong.
I know. I'm aware of it.
Well, all right. Okay.
So we're going to lick it, lick it, suck it. What do we do here?
Oh.
Oh, this is quite good.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't smell that great, but it does taste yummy.
Yeah, it smells like a tree, but the taste of it is fine. Oh, well, yeah. I'm gonna lick this whole thing by the time I'm done here today. That's lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, because you had no way to set it down.
That's the other thing, is it's the shape is really you can't just stick it in your mouth and hang out at the bus stop. You know what
I
mean?
No, they actually, they've got a conveyor belt. They go, and they drop a little bit of birch syrup gunk on there. They put a stick in it, wait for it to firm up, and then they jam it in a bag and stick a $2 label on it.
I'd ask one of our many Canadian fans, but they just come back with weird gibberish like, can't understand any of it.
Well, it's Alaskan anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
That's part of our country.
That's right. You can be an Alaskan.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
See, that worked there too.
Wow.
Mm. All right. That's lovely. I like that a lot.
That was your dong.
Daryl, let's get back to you. Why don't you, sir... regale us with a birthday of some sort.
Okay. I will put that thing down. Oh, all right. Saturday was William Shatner's birthday. He was 83.
Right. 83 freaking years old. Jeez. Still kicking. That's great.
Yeah.
He's let's have some predictions here. I don't want to be morbid, but how long do we think Bill's got? I give him another 8.
I say the music keeps him young. 8's probably a good guess, actually. Yeah. The music keeps him young.
Let's put him at 90.
Nobody helps him.
Nobody. Oh, I'm not going to play it. Nobody helps
him. Nobody helps him.
I mean, if he can keep that up. Oh, that's great. I love him.
He kind of looks like this sucker. He's kind of the same consistency as that. But he's holding together.
Yeah, he's all right. He looks like a scone to me. Looks like a big scone. I just want to put butter on him and have him for a special breakfast. happy birthday to him. So he's our only big birthday. That's a big one.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
there are other lesser ones, but
that's
in the shadow of Shatner. You don't even mention those other guys.
Right. Exactly. Who else do you need? Anybody else you put pales in comparison?
Yeah. Not even
a dozen
is up to snuff. All right. Well, Daryl, let's get back to the question then. This is the question about the Night Terrors episode, and they're looking for this other ship that 30 years ago or so sent out this distress call. Was it the Sheffield, the Concorde, the Sarajevo, or the Britann, however you say it?
I don't even remember any of these except for the Britann.
Hmm. The Sarajevo is familiar to me, but I don't know why.
That's in Yugoslavia, and they had the Olympics there once or something.
That's true. And didn't also, that's like a lot of war happened there after the Olympics, didn't it? Wasn't that their deal?
I don't know.
And they made the Yugo for a while. Was that them? Was that Yugoslavia?
That was them. Yep.
I guess they're in there. Are they part of that? Wow. International current day history is
geography.
Pretty bad.
Why do they have to keep changing the countries, man?
What's going on, you guys? Like this whole thing with
would have been
Russia
so hard to leave it as Istanbul,
Crimea,
or Constantinople.
Yeah, was it that hard? We wouldn't have that annoying song or anything. It'd be much easier.
Aww.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah.
I don't usually have anything to do with the Bible, but since you mentioned parakeets and Cherokees, I'm really going to have to do some reading.
Yeah, check it. It's all in the Gospel of John, the Revelator. If you dig deep into what he had to say, man, the stuff he sees in the future. Man, you got to look at that. That's some fun stuff. Like, forget about, Noah's fine, but let's get into some of the late New Testament stuff. There's some business in there. They could make a movie about that. And if it was Darren Aronofsky, he could bring, didn't he do The Wrestler? That was his deal, right?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. I think it's going to be really fascinating to see what he does with a giant budget, a bunch of special effects.
Mm-hmm.
And then his weird take on things. It sounds really interesting to me. I don't know why you'd want to get all up in arms about a thing you haven't seen yet. I don't get that.
I know. Yeah. Because
that's the part I don't. I have the biggest problem with. I get it if you go and if your sensibilities are completely offended while you're in there. Well then, okay, yeah, that's
at least
fine.
You've seen it, and you're.
You can speak to it with some authority at that point, or at least with some opinion outside of just, well, somebody told me something, so I'm not gonna. That part I never get. I don't understand that part. Also, even if you are going to be offended, what did you lose? Did you go? At least you walked away going, well, now I know that that's not a thing for me.
Right.
Like avoiding it. Just I don't know, whatever.
I'm with you.
I don't understand it. Not that you have to go see it either. You know what? If somebody's just like straight up, nah, I don't feel like seeing that. That's fine too. Do you have to get on the radio and tell us all what to do though? No.
The other thing, by the way, about this sucker.
Yeah.
Is if you put the whole thing in your mouth.
Yeah.
And pull it out, it's like buzzsaw, like a circular saw blade on the inside of your cheeks.
You got to be careful.
Oh yeah.
It'll give you a Joker face. You got to be careful. Will.
Want to know how I got these scars?
And I got these. I'll tell you four Birch, different stories. You have to decide which sucker. One. Was it ever determined which story he told was supposed to be the real one, or
no,
were any
no,
of them?
Not.
Okay, it was supposed to be a mystery, right?
Yeah.
All right. Did he ever find Harvey Dent? I guess he did in the end.
He did. Yes.
He had to wear a dress. To
oh,
do
there's
it.
Harvey Dent. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. All right, Daryl.
Yeah.
That's funny. What say you? Oh, yeah. Did you already say or did you? You said you only remember the Bertain. You think that's it?
I think so, because I don't even know what any of the others are except for a city. That one is the city. The Sheffield? Oh, that's probably a city too, isn't it?
Yeah, Sheffield.
It's a city of UK for some reason.
Yeah,
something like that. Yeah. And then what is it? Connecticut?
Connect. Concord. The 360 Connect.
Oh, Concord.
Concord.
Concord. That's what I meant.
That's a plane right there.
Yeah. That's what you got there. Wasn't here, see?
Concord. Isn't that a city, too?
Concord. In, like, yeah, Concord.
Well, in North Carolina, it's a city, but...
Concord.
It's spelled that way.
Is it Concord or Concord?
They make grapes there or something.
Concord grapes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like Concord grape juice. Mm-hmm. If you want the
also
truth.
Also not spelled with the E, though.
Check it out right here real quick.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are tonight's entertainment.
I'm waiting for the...
I only have one question. Where is Harvey Dent?
Okay, so it's not quite the way I say it. It never is it?
No. I mean, you dirty rat or any of those like famous, a lot of those famous quotes never were spoken the same way.
Yeah, as you remember them.
As you remember. I mean, they're, you know.
There's a lesson in that. There's a lesson in that.
Right, right.
I think we interpret things the way we want to.
Yeah.
That may have something to do with the Noah conversation we had
earlier.
There's
anything wrong with that.
Not to the...
Is that the one with the...
All right, Daryl, let's see if you're right about the Bertain, you say? The Bertain.
Yeah. If you say something backwards in real life and then play the backwards talking backwards, yeah. Does it become forward or is it just backwards backwards?
I think, ooh. We should test that. We're going to test that. I'm having so much fun with this. That's why not? We're going to test that. All right, let's find out if you're right about this answer, though.
It's more of a philosophical question.
It is, isn't it? It's pretty deep.
Congratulations!
Nicely done.
You're a winner.
That was your dong.
It's the Bertain. Once they find it, they take away an away team over to find the crew. He wrote that way. We're all dead except for the Betazoid. Skeletor determines the crew killed each other. Here's a clip of her playing a log from the captain of the Bertain, who seems to have had good old fashioned space madness. So here you go.
Captain Sahiva's mental condition deteriorated steadily once they had become stranded. She began talking of plots and mutinies. This was the last entry in the log, made after they had been adrift for over 3 weeks.
First Officer Brink and his men were behind it. They got to the engines. They don't work anymore. Had to eliminate Brink. The ship is out of. We're running out. Too dangerous. Out of Brink and his men.
They think I'm crazy, but I know better. It is not I who am crazy. It is I who am mad.
Oh, Mike doing a little editing there at the end.
Oh, they came from behind.
So... I don't like that kind of acting that she was doing there.
No.
In fact, I quite hate it. So there you go. Space Madness 101, everybody.
Space Madness.
Daryl is the Trek nerd. And he is the Trek Nerd on Twitter. So that's where you follow him, at the Trek Nerd. And also, This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com is a podcast about Star Trek. And guess who co-hosts that? Well, it would be Daryl. That's who does. Mm-hmm. Him and Mike Gaines, doing it every week. What's your topic this week? What are you guys doing?
Oh, what are we doing? I have no idea, but we do it tomorrow, whatever it is.
Whatever it is, it'll happen tomorrow.
Because you know they got talent.
Yeah, right? Those guys, mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah.
And they'll make a funny noise during the show, and Mike will say, "What was that?" Daryl will say,
"That was your dong."
All right. Daryl, let's make fun with some more fun here and do a little game which has this theme. All right, it's called what? What are we doing?
Is this a Federation starship or a Canadian superhero?
Okay, got it. I like these. These are good.
Me too.
Nelvana.
Nelvana.
Nelvana?
Mm-hmm.
Has it got a baby Kardashian on the front with his wiener hanging out? I'm going to say... Nelvana, what do you think?
Jeez. I could go either way on this one. Maybe, probably if either way, I'd lean towards... lead towards Federation Starship.
Yeah. Me too. I think okay. If I'm gun to my head, I think that's the way I go.
Yeah.
All right. What do you say, Daryl?
Boy, I think the gun went off. It's a Canadian superhero.
Oh, really? What's her power? What does she do?
I don't know, but she's Nelvana of the Northern Lights, and she's Canada's first Denise. I can't even read. Just hang up on me.
Oh, yeah. Somebody asked for him to do that again. He hasn't done that in a while. All right. Well, there you go. Canada, your heroes are dumb.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news.
And they have holes in them. The news is brought to you by, hey, want some Hobbit coins from in the film? Sure, you could buy them for $8 a piece. Or you can get more detailed dwarven gold for almost nothing through Fantasy Coins Kickstarter project at bit.ly/fantasycoin.
Mm. Yeah, this thing's, excited about it. You need to back it. If you haven't backed it out there, folks, back it, because these guys are making some wicked cool stuff. And we've heard from him before, but I feel like this is like his great moment.
Yeah. Oh, no. I'm excited about this. This is such a cool, cool Kickstarter with a lot of great prizes.
And they're going to.
There was a Nelvana. There was a Nelvana 3 in Star Trek, which was a planet.
Oh, was it? Really?
In TNG. Yeah. Somebody who just linked it. Ace High linked it.
Then we deserve a.
No, because he said a Federation starship. Oh, and this okay. is clearly not a starship.
Fine.
So Daryl's correct.
Daryl wins. We lose. It's fine. Let's get to the news here. Worst challenge, WURST. It's a thing. It has people eating 20-foot sausages for art. Seems like
for
bad idea.
Art.
For art, we're doing this. A fundraising event for children's art in Michigan has pitted participants with big appetites against 20-foot-long bratwursts that weigh close to 6 pounds each. 12 competitors and hundreds of onlookers turned in Thursday night for the worst challenge, raising about $7,000 for the Fly Children's Art Center. Jesse Kranyak is a co-owner of the Worst Bar. That's great.
The Worst Bar.
The Worst Bar. And says he is excited to host the event at his restaurant. He says the restaurant contributed the bratwurst to two of them vegetarian and the others pork and beef mixes. Boy, I bet those veggie ones are gross.
Veggie bratwurst. Yeah,
that does not sound good.
I just can't. Yeah.
Although, if somebody wants to send one in for us to test, we'll do it.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
And Brian will eat anything if it isn't thick.
Not a 20-foot one.
No. Wait, are these 20 feet? Yeah, 20 feet.
Yeah.
Proceeds benefit the hoo-ha, ha-ha.
Blah, blah, blah.
Blah, charity, blah. Who cares? Things,
blah, blah.
It's Yip Shalanti. How do you say that? Yip.
Ypsilanti.
Oh, the ip. Why would be an ip there? Oh, yeah. I guess there's a phonetic right next to it.
Right Jeez. Next to it.
Damn it. It's a city of 19,000 that is
it's
home.
It's like the HuffPo is now saying, well, let's do this for Scott.
Exactly. We heard him on the show. We need to help the poor guy out. Florida man back in the news.
Mm-hmm.
Florida man. He's drunk. So here's the deal. He drank $80 worth of shots, set trash can on fire, and punched several people in the face while trying to leave the bar.
Wow. Just let him out, would you?
The Volusia County man. I hope I got that right.
Volusia, yeah.
Oh, well, that was not right then. has been arrested after South Daytona Beach. Sorry, police said he set fire to a... My brain wants to finish every word differently today. It's really an odd thing. I feel it doing it without my control. Like, I couldn't say South Daytona without putting beach at the end, even though beach isn't in there.
Daytona must be the next word. Must be beach.
Damn it. Anyway, set fire to a trash can in a bar bathroom and got into a fight with several people before he tried to leave. Police say Jason Buchanan walked into a bar. It sounds like a cop in a cop show. Jason Buchanan.
Jason Buchanan.
That's right.
Cop on the edge. He's,
yeah. That's the fifth squad car you've wrecked this week, Buchanan. We got to stop Mendoza. has been arrested. He walked into the South Ridge Avenue bar, ordered $80 worth of shots and alcohol on Friday. And alcohol? I thought shots were alcohol.
They have shots of. He does say shots of alcohol.
Oh, I put and in there where there was none. Is that what you're telling me?
Not only did you put and in there, you complained about its placement.
I can't read. What is going on today? All right. According to investigators, Buchanan, age 33, downed all the shots and set fire to a trash can in the bar's men's room. The bar's men's room. Yeah, I got that right.
Yes.
I didn't screw that up.
No. I wonder how many shots is 80. Because, I mean, if it's high-end alcohol, that's only like, you know, 9 or 10 shots.
So you say high-end. What does that mean? Describe.
Like your Patron Silver or your...
Rappers sing about Patron all the time.
Right, exactly.
Or I guess they don't sing about it. They rap about it.
They rap about it.
How do you say that? Rappers talk about it?
They like, rap about it.
Do they just rap about it?
They hip-hop all about it.
Okay.
They put their hands in the air as if to say they don't care.
Oh, that's so cool that they do that.
And the chicken tastes like wood.
And the chicken always tastes like wood. That's right. If I learned anything from like the that era of rap, it was that the chicken tastes like wood.
Yep.
Hip-hop to the hippity-hip. I freaking love that stuff. It can't be taken seriously now, though, right?
No,
you can't.
Of course not.
Yeah,
of course not.
You can't listen to Basketball from what was that guy's name? Fredo Bush or something? What was his name that sang that? They're playing basketball. It's not Fredo Bush.
I don't know that one.
Mandalay Horse. I don't know. Whatever it is. let's see. When Buchanan left to leave, multiple people tried to stop him, but police say punched them all in the face, including one man over 70 years old. Just punched them all in the face. The fire didn't do any serious damage, according to police. He's arrested now and he'll face trial.
Why would they try to stop? Why would the second person try to stop him?
Yeah, right? No. It seems
that guy got punched in the face. All right.
These three guys all got punched in the face and a 70-year-old man. I think I'll sit this one out.
Right.
That's what I'd say. There's your news. Big news this week. Not really.
Yeah.
It's all stupid news.
It's Florida, man.
But we got a little bit of this all for you here.
If communists have attempted to inject their propaganda into the motion picture, they have failed miserably.
It's Celebrity Poop, brought to you by
The Elder Scrolls Online Play Sessions Podcast. If you love The Elder Scrolls, then you'll love the new ESO Play Sessions Podcast. Luke, Russell, and Jason talk all things Elder Scrolls Online as they are live and in the game. With the launch approaching, things are picking up, and we are looking forward to getting to jumping into Tamriel with everyone. Check us out at ESOPlaySessions.com and on Twitter at ESOPlaySessions.
Forward to getting to jumping into. That's a sentence.
We're looking forward to getting to jumping into.
Sure. Oh, the sucker is the best.
It is really good. I had to put mine back in the bag because it was ripping up the insides of my mouth.
I'm really digging it.
Gonna have to, I don't know, like belt sand the sides so that it's less of a danger to me.
Dremel them down.
Right.
Exactly. You guys have a Dremel? You have a Dremel?
I do have a Dremel. I love my Dremel.
I don't use it very much, but we have one. I don't know what to use it for. What do I use it for?
The last couple times I've used it, it's been for pumpkins.
Oh.
It's great for really getting details into a carved pumpkin.
Like, I would never have thought of that. It's a great idea. Do you put like attachments, special attachments, or just the straight up little cone looking nib?
I use the cone, and then I use like a little kind of like a little thin attachment to kind of drill the initial holes and kind of get the initial pieces cut out. And then
that's what I'm gonna do. This is how all those fancy, like, you go to BuzzFeed, that's what they do, aren't they?
Exactly what they use for that.
Cheaters,
yes.
Man. I figured they had the same dull knife I did.
Big butcher knife that can only turn.
So you can make your triangle eyes. A shunk, shunk, shunk. Eye. James Rebhorn, sorry. Oh, age 65, an often seen actor. You know him. If you don't know his name, you definitely know who he is. Played a man in a suit in just about everything he ever did.
Probably the best, you know, the one that the movie that connects me with him the most, or it makes me think of, if you remember him from that name, is Scent of a Woman. He's the
right.
the dean of the school that.
He's mean in that.
He is mean in that.
Yeah, that's right.
Trying to get one guy to rat out the other.
Often that
Philip
kind of
Seymour Hoffman rats him out.
He was often that kind of actor for sure.
Yeah,
or not the kind of character, not that kind of actor. He's supposed to be a real nice guy. Mm-hmm. He was the district attorney who was prosecuting Seinfeld at the end of the Seinfeld series.
Oh, really? In the last episode?
That's last funny. Episode, that was him. And he's most recently been on that Showtime hit Homeland. Mm-hmm. Died Which Friday in his home in South Orange, New Jersey. He was 65 years old. The cause was melanoma, which is so hideously bad once it spreads, but so easily prevented if you just get your moles checked, folks.
Right.
Go it's do funny. That.
Actually, I have one I'm getting checked out tomorrow at the doctor right after TMS.
Ooh, you have to report how that goes. Okay. I had two burned off for this very reason. Last time I was in the office there, I still have a scab over here.
Wow.
You guys want to see it? I'm not going to show anymore.
I don't want to see it.
But I'll tell you, if you want to get your kid to scream and like run real fast.
Yeah.
The other one I had burned off, scabbed up quicker, and I was kind of scratching my back one day, and boop, off came the scab. Just normal, you know, it wasn't like hurty or bleedy or anything. It was just time for it to come off. But it was like this little dirt patty, like a little skin patty, right?
Ooh, yeah.
So I flicked it at Carter, and she proceeded to run around the house screaming and yelling my name for the next 10 minutes.
Sure, yeah.
She wasn't happy about that at all. Anyway, go get checked. My brother had a thing crop up on his neck, and they caught it in time to get rid of it all.
You want to know how I got these scars? Dad threw it at me.
That's right. Also wear sunscreen. Also lots of shade. Don't be an idiot. Don't go. No one cares how tan you are. Just stop it. Especially if you're like me and Brian. We're super white.
Exactly.
You got to be careful. And Wendy. I told her the other day. You got
to
be careful.
Something to be said for porcelain skin.
Yeah, there is something to be said for that, isn't there? Mm-hmm. My biggest problem, too, they're like, the doctor says, now what you want to kind of do is make a mental star map of all your moles. And I'm like, doctor, have you seen me?
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm a literal star map of moles. Like, I have too many moles to count them all. And they're, none of them are scary or weird right now, but...
I got Neil deGrasse Tyson, flying around in a little ship around me.
Yeah,
man.
Like some kind of freaking super reflecty ship saying things like, look at Scott's mole. I mean, I've got them everywhere, so I that doesn't work for me. These people with one or two moles, like you people from like Greece or wherever you're from, and you got like one mole on your cheek. Y'all have one mole on your cheek. That's the rule if you live in Greece.
That's right.
There's this place up the town, or I've told you about this place, the burger, what's it called? Crown Burger here in Salt Lake. It's a big hotspot. Everyone loves it there. And it's a local thing, but it's owned by this Greek family, and they all have a mole on their lip. Every one of them. Every freaking one. Yeah. It's not racist, just the truth. Mila Kunis.
Yeah.
Oh, and so anyway, sad day for Rebhorn. And
yeah.
I hope everything. And, you know, My Cousin Vinny, Cold Mountain, Independence Day, Meet the Parents. He's been in more than 50 films.
The Game. We've seen him together in The Game.
Yeah,
saw him together in Real Steel.
Yeah. Yeah. Plenty of films. He seemed like a nice guy. But he's as white as me, so it's a good reminder. I got to take good care of my skin.
Exactly.
Mila Kunis.
Yes.
She's pregnant.
Oh.
With the baby of her That 70s Show co-star.
Wow.
The hairy woman that smoked pot a lot. Nope. She's
pregnant by one, but not the other and a half guy.
No. Yes. Yes. Mila Kunis, Ashton Kutcher are engaged and going to be parents. Kunis is pregnant with the couple's first child. Source close to E! News. Just weeks after being... After being first to report that the former That 70s Show co-stars are planning to tie the knot. I knew I'd get through it. The Ted star. Oh, she was in Ted?
Yeah.
I haven't seen Ted. How is Ted?
Love interest. It's actually pretty funny.
Is it?
Yeah, it's entertaining.
All right. The Ted star was even recently spotted attending a prenatal yoga class in Hollywood. Ooh. Ironically, Kunis is the new face of Jim Beam Bourbon, But of course, she'll still make she still makes for a stunning face. She just won't be sampling the brand's wares for a while. OE Online.
That's funny. Why is she the new face of Jim Beam Bourbon? That's kind of a weird,
Right?
Product placement kind
Jim
of thing.
Beam.
Not product placement, but endorsement, product endorsement.
Let's look it up. JimBeam.com. Mm-hmm. Are there any photos of Mila Kunis?
I wonder how many shots of Jim Beam you can get for $80 after you set fire to a trash can.
Right? What is this? Jim Beam. I don't want to enter this. Oh, I have to say how old I am. All right, I live in Argentina, and I was born January 1st, 1915.
I sure have a lot of birthdays on that website for people on January 1st.
Oh, here it is. Kentucky rolls out the red carpet. Mila Kunis goes behind the bourbon.
Oh.
Click to watch. Let's see what she says.
We've been doing this since 1795. I'm responsible for the bourbon that we make today to be up in quality as my father made before me and as, you know, all of our ancestors leading up.
Right on, brother.
I'm kind of excited to introduce Mila.
No offense, but he is no Mila Kunis. So let's get to Mila Kunis.
To what we do here in Kentucky.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Mila. Welcome to my part of the world.
I love it here.
Okay, this is the worst. What are you paying her? How dumb is this? All right.
All right.
Great.
Oh, man.
Well, she's pregnant. So bring it on. Bring on the baby. Tweaked Audio is sponsoring today's fine program. If you want to check them out, you can. Tweakedaudio.com. Why don't you save a little money? Go over there and get a pair of earbuds. It's spring. Spring is here. Time to get out and jog some more. I'm going to go to the park right over there later today with the dog. Nice. Let her crap all over it. Cleaned it up, of course. And I had this moment yesterday, dude, when I was walking the dog and I was with Kim and the dog had to, you could tell she had to poo. So yeah. She hunkers down to do her business. And all we get out of it is like a lima bean sized turd. No big deal. It's just nothing. She's a tiny, she's a shih tzu. And usually she'll do more than that, but she just does a little tiny bit. And I said, well, I'm not getting out of bag and doing it just for this little bean. And what a waste this is. And right as I'm saying it, some other couple's coming up the path with their dog. So I had to do it.
Right.
Because they were there and they were looking at me. But I'll tell you, if I'm out and I'm with the dog and I need to hear like a podcast or whatever, I'm going to Tweaked Audio. That's what
darn
I get
right
in my ears.
That's the way to do it.
Noise reduction, lifetime warranty, engineered for durability. They last. They're awesome. They're great. And we're going to save you 33% when you go there. That's stream at checkout. That's your code. Stream at checkout at tweakedaudio.com. All right. When we come back, we got major spoilers. Got some big stuff to talk about there. Kim and Sarah will be here for Geek Food live in studio.
Oh, it's been a while.
Yeah, it has been. So they're all back in town now. Everything's good. And we got emails. We'll get to that in a little bit, too. Before all of that, though, let's do a little music.
All right. Well, this one came to me via a subject line song for a wonderful day. It says, greetings, Scooter and Birdum. For any free mid-show song this week or next, if necessary, I would like to request a cover of a song from or by my favorite British band, the Fratellis, if possible. Cover for the girl Chelsea Dagger or Henrietta. Thanks immensely for all the work you both do. I know it means a lot to me and countless others. Love you guys. Wed the Frodo. Love, Morgan Walls. Captain Morgan occasionally in the tadpool.
Nice.
I have a couple covers. Well, I have a lot of covers of Chelsea Dagger. They're okay. I have one cover for the girl. We played that one by the old 97s recently, so I don't want to play that one. Decided to do a cover by the Fratellis. And this will be instantly recognizable to anybody who's seen the Apple commercial with the new gold iPhone 5S, where it looks like it's being made smelted as you watch it.
Oh, right.
Out of gold.
Yeah.
It's actually a double cover. They're covering both Goldfrapp's Ooh La La, which is the song from that video, as well as Hot Love by T-Rex. And it was recorded live for the Tom Middleton Crazy Covers Volume 2. Here are the Fratellis. And Ooh La La, Hot Love.
I like Fratellis, but only with cheese on them. A big plate of hot Fratelli cheese.
Hot Fratellis.
Oh,
yeah.
So good. Here you go. It's Hot Love. We'll see you in a minute.
We through the wire. just switch me on, turn me on. Just wanna touch you, you get made for love. Oh, I need la 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 la. I just wanna touch you, you're just made for love. La 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 la. Oh la 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 la. La 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 la. Oh la 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la.
Get rich off runner completely free inside every box of Post Rice Crinkles. So I say, Rice Butters Crinkles is sweetest to eat because it's crinkled with sugar, and sugar is sweet. Now, what you say?
Same as you. Crinkles are crinkly and sweetest to eat because they're...
Crinkled.
Crinkled. Crinkles are sugar and sugar is sweet.
Ah, so.
That was your dong.
Ladies, we heard you. This is the Morning Stream.
Oh, we're back. We're back, everybody. We have a plan. Excellent. Brian, one more test for you. Ready?
All right.
Okay, what'd you say?
Well, it's definitely me singing something.
Oh, you're on to something there.
Let me get it one more time.
All right, here you go.
It's me talking about a cappella, like how the song I played isn't like typical a cappella.
You, sir, are the big winner today. Here's what it sounded like for real.
Bum, 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 dum, 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 dum.
See? I don't know why I'm so interested in this, but
this is fun.
I think it's great. It's like turning back time. If I could turn back time.
Turn back time.
All right, so
next
let's...
Next week I'll hear that one. I'll have to identify it.
Indeed. And don't send me emails about how racist that commercial was, everybody. I know. That's why we played it.
That's right. It's very glape.
Yeah, I'm fully aware. All right. What do we do now? We do something else here. We do Steven Schleicher. Jeez.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. Just get him in here. Here he comes. Walking down the street. With the strangest something stuck to his feet. Oh, hey, it's Steven Schleicher. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. I got a little theme for you today. Hold on here. I can't. Where'd it go? Hold on. Jeez, I thought I had it right here. Here we go. Kind of superhero-y, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
I think that was from that terrible...
Tarantino movie there.
Spoilery.
I think it was from that bad Chuck Norris thing we watched, Brian, on Film Sack. What was that? The Octagon.
Yeah, the Octagon, yes.
I think that's where that's from. But where Steven is from is the fair state of Kansas, where all things come that are good.
Home of many octagons.
Many octagons indeed. Steven comes on the show, and each time he does, he brings with him nerdy stuff to talk about from majorspoilers.com. Steven, it's always a pleasure to have you here, man.
Thank you.
Let's talk briefly. I'd like to know what the reaction has been. Well, I want to know what your crowd is saying about the Incredibles 2 announcement.
Awesome.
What is the temperature? Is it good? Everyone's mostly happy?
Yeah, it's really good. Here's the reason why it's good. First of all, since Brad Bird owns, you know, basically controls the property, he gets to do with it whatever he wants. And he's always said for years that, yeah, as soon as he comes up with a great idea and can develop it, then he'll put it into production or move forward with it. Right. And certainly Disney Pixar has agreed to that. And now that he's wrapping up his Tomorrowland work, then he can now look at The Incredibles 2.
Yeah, that seems good.
And so this is all good.
All right. Well, I'm extremely happy about it. And I know there was, I mean, you know, you never can, Twitter's not a good gauge for this crap.
Because, yeah, I'm sure some people are really upset about it and some people don't like it. But, you know, people have been begging for years to see a sequel to this because it's one of the most popular animated Pixar franchises that are out there. Mm. And it's the one that hasn't been exploited. And I think that Disney and Pixar have proven that they can take a property like Toys, for example, that no one thought you could make a sequel to that. And they turned it into two awesome, great movies that followed the original. And I think that they can do the same thing with The Incredibles.
Entirely agree. That'll be pretty good. All right. I want to know more about John Constantine. We got to first look at who the dude's going to be.
Yeah.
Now remind me, is this the Constantine, like the
yeah, Hellblazer?
Okay.
Hellblazer. Yeah.
Okay. Now that's good, but it's also NBC. That makes me nervous. People are going to be too good looking and things will be too shiny. I need some grit in my Hellblazer.
I think that the character looks just like he does from the comic books. In fact, the early days of Hellblazer from DC Comics looks spot on. He probably won't smoke, although he could, but chances are he's not going to smoke in this TV series.
Yeah.
But they are trying to make it as close to the series as possible, including the fact that he's going to have a British accent.
Mm.
So I think that's kind of a big deal.
Who give us a little bit of history here. Who is famous for the Hellblazer series? This isn't Gaiman, is it? Who is this?
No, this would be like Garth Ennis.
Garth Ennis, that's who I was thinking.
Is probably the most influential on that series. Mm-hmm. Over the years. So I think that's, you know, and he gets a little crazy in himself.
Yeah.
So who knows with, you know, what's going to happen with it. But it is NBC. It is for regular television. So we probably will see some kind of watering down of the character in the series.
He should smoke, though, because he smoked like a
chimney. I think
so,
too. And that's kind of a big deal because at one point, and this is a spoiler for people.
Yeah, so skip ahead if you don't want to hear this. Okay, go.
Yeah, he gets cancer from smoking, and he has to make a deal with the devil in order to get out of this cancer deal.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And
that's right.
Yeah.
I forgot
so
about
it's going to be kind of a big deal.
Well, I hope they do. I lament when creative choice is squished by you know, political correctness of the day. And yeah. I know we don't want our kids smoking. I get that. But there is some value to it as a plot device for other reasons. And it doesn't necessarily glorify it in the eyes of whatever. And someone's going to give me 10 reasons why I'm wrong. But
I always
get a little irritated when, you know, well, we shouldn't show smoking. Well,
right.
We should show what artists or storytellers or writers or screenwriters want to tell us. And if you don't like that, then don't watch it. But I want to know. I want the core of this character to be on TV, and it doesn't, to me, right. It doesn't sound like, if they don't do that, I mean, we haven't seen it, so who knows, but it seems like they're treading a fine line there.
So a quick correction, Alan Moore.
Alan Moore.
Who introduced Hellblazer.
He appeared first in Alan Moore's awesome Swamp Thing run.
Right, Swamp Thing.
The best runs of Swamp Thing.
Oh, yeah, I have that whole collection. It's so good.
Yeah. So here's the thing. The worst case scenario, we get an NBC version of Supernatural.
Yeah, which is fine. That's fine.
Which is fine. That series has been going on for, what, 10 years now?
Yeah, so. And it's pretty good. It's not. It's the one WB/CW show that I don't hate.
Right.
Like, it's actually kind of good.
If that's the worst case scenario, or even the Grimm series, if that's the worst that we get, then that's actually pretty good.
Yeah, I just don't want the Dome again. Like, the Dome was too clean. The Dome needed some gritty, angry stuff. The Dome needed a Cable.
Heroes season 2. I mean, they're, the Cape.
Right.
Yep.
NBC has a...
actually, Cape was Cape Fox. Who was Cape?
Was Cape Fox?
I don't remember.
It was NBC.
I don't remember anything. I don't even remember what we're doing. What are we doing? Oh, we're talking about major spoilers. All right. Most important thing. I've been putting it off.
It was NBC.
Yeah. This just broke this morning, and I actually saw it on your Twitter feed, which is where I then viewed it.
Mm-hmm.
The new full-length trailer for X-Men Days of Future Past is out.
Yeah.
And I've not been this excited about a movie in a while. Now, I know there's a huge risk here, right? Like, they could blow this. This could be garbage. There's things in its favor. One, we got great cast from both eras. That's that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. You're dealing with time travel, which I know you're a sucker for.
I'm a big sucker for
I'm a sucker for good time travel, or time travel that's done in such a way that I don't have to think too much about the plot holes in it.
Right.
And we think this is based on that great run in the comic series, so that's all very exciting. The director's back, so you got Bryan Singer from the first two films.
And they even make sure to mention, by the way, the director of the first two, the good X-Men movies.
They didn't want to bring up that third piece of garbage,
right?
Which I think is smart. But they also didn't mention Superman Returns, which I think is important to note. But he's got some cred there. Like, everything seems like you should be able to do this without too much trouble and make it great. But I'm nervous about it being not great because I want it to be so bad. It looks so freaking good.
It does look good. And I don't think that there's anything bad with it looking this good.
Yeah.
The problem will be, if it follows the storyline, which I can already tell from watching the trailer that it doesn't follow the two-issue storyline, Days of Future Past, that closely. But it does have a lot of these important elements in it as the future has changed and mutants are being hunted. And I think that could lead to some... to an overall good story. And quite frankly, I think lately I've been thinking that the comic book universe needs to be vastly different from the comic book movie universe.
I agree.
Because otherwise you're not going to be able to tell the stories that you want to tell and have people happy on both sides.
I think people just need, we need to learn to be okay with it. You know?
Yeah. People are going to look at this and say, this is not a faithful adaptation. Right. And so therefore it sucks. It could be an absolutely fabulous movie and a great movie. Mm-hmm. And if they can, and if people can keep those separate, then I think it's going to be fine.
I totally agree. If we can get
that's a plus for the comic fans because they won't know what to expect.
Right.
You know, if you do something that's completely adheres to the story, then well, what's the point? Because what happens.
And so, a good example of this, then, even though I haven't watched the latest episode of The Walking Dead, who is going to reach Terminus, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the latest teaser poster that's come out indicates that not everyone will make it to the end result. But, that stuff's not in the comic books. There's so many changes from the comic books and the TV show that comic book fans can enjoy it. And people who are like, who have been watching the TV series and say, I've already seen what happens. I don't need to go and read the comic. We'll find two very different experiences.
Yeah, I agree. And it's you get the added benefit of we're still going to give you some fan service. We're still going to show you things that were like, oh, yeah, I remember that in the comic. Oh, yeah, that was a big deal. Now let's see which way they split from that. It's my the parts where they split are the best parts of The Walking Dead. I mean, I hate to say it, but I enjoy the comic. I know you have a love-hate thing going there, but
yeah,
I mostly hate. Not hate, just you have a whatever. You have a kind of...
My thing is just the constant repetition of the same story elements again and again and again.
The cycle is a little... I agree with that. But,
right.
But the show has done some great things with new characters we've never seen before, and those new characters are easily the best things about the TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And they have caused the things that are familiar to the comic book readers to be different and take different directions and do different things. And I'm personally really happy I'm getting two very different storylines because I don't really need to see a rehash of what I've already seen or know. And they stand on their own too, so why not?
You can apply that to the Constantine television show. It may deviate wildly from the comics, but I mean the look is there, so I think people are going to be happy with that. And I think the general concept of what is happening in X-Men Days of Future Past is present in both the comic book and the movie, and I think people are going to be excited about that.
What do you think about
well.
Those Sentinels? They're pretty weird looking.
They look pretty awesome.
Mm. Yeah, they do.
I think.
Yeah. I think they're good. I don't want the big
purple and blue unwieldy, you know.
The big Tonka toy looking things that they were. I agree.
I think the Transformers movie kind of changed what we're going to see with giant robots.
Yeah. And these are more, I don't know, they're just more assassin-y and more like live stealthy. And stealthy. Yeah. That stuff's cool. They remind me, I don't know if you're reading this new series. It's that event series. What's it called? Crap. It's going on right now. It's all the multi-worlds are getting attacked by the, what are they called? I'm doing a terrible job of explaining this. I just read the first two issues. Yeah, it's a brand.
Marvel?
Yeah, it's a Marvel.
Oh, is that the Hunger Line or whatever it is? It's where Galactus is.
No, it's more a Thanos. It's a Thanos deal.
Oh no, I haven't been reading that.
It's not bad. It's actually pretty good. But what was my point? Why did I bring? Oh, there's an assassin creature thing that's getting run all around by one of the henchmen of Thanos, and he's kind of controlling these assassin guys.
The black creature thing.
They look like an alien a little bit.
Yeah. Okay,
the curved head. Those immediately I saw this trailer and went, oh, those kind of remind me of those for some reason. I don't know if it was intentional or not, but
like the Obsidian Order, not Obsidian Order. Was it the Obsidian Order? The four Thanos's four henchmen.
Yes, five. There are five of them.
Five.
Right?
Okay.
And the main, and I forget this guy's name. I'm doing a terrible butcher job of telling people what's in this particular book, but it's good.
Infinity. Right.
Infinity. Yeah, that's what it's called.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, my point is this: I don't care if these movies or these TV shows adhere directly to the plots. I just care that they're good. In other words, I just want good old fashioned pacing and storytelling and plots and quality characters and interaction. If this X-Men movie, if these TV shows we're talking about today, if these things can pull that off, what else are you going to ask for, man? We're living in the golden era of this conversion. So I'm stoked about all of it. Sounds really good to me. People can find more great stuff about this trailer, about many other things at majorspoilers.com. I also noticed the want list is in full rotation right now on YouTube. That's looking good.
Yep, we've got the YouTube and we've got an audio version too. So people want a short weekly video, they can get that. And then if they want a longer, about 15-minute expanded thing of stories and items that appear during the week, we also have the audio version of that.
Yeah. Well, as always, the people at Major Spoilers are my kind of nerd. So if you guys are into that stuff, visit there frequently. Anything else people should be aware of right now before we cut you off?
There will be a lot of Critical Hit people at Nerdtacular this year.
Mm-hmm. Yay! Right on, brother.
More on that later.
Maybe a lot of tabletop-y crap going on, too.
I'll
bet we can get some kind of something happening.
Are we sold out on that yet?
No, we're close, though. We're getting there.
People, get your tickets now.
Yeah, I want to say we're over 80% sold or something. So they went quicker than last year, and they're going to be going soon. So if people want in, now's your chance. Nerdtacular.com. You can meet Steven in person. Shake his hand. Squeeze his nipple. I don't know. Whatever you want.
No, don't do that. That's so uncomfortable.
Steven, have a fantastic day, man. We'll see you next time.
All right. Bye.
Bye now. Okay. You guys here?
Oh, yeah, I can hear, but you're far away.
I'm here now. Joining us in studio. Here, say something over there, will you?
Hey.
Oh, hey there.
Good morning.
Oh,
look at that.
Joining us in studio, we have Kim Johnson, formerly Sones, like Jones with an S. And Sarah Brown, formerly Sewn like Jones with an S. They're sitting here with us talking about geek food. And how was your week, ladies?
From the Finger Lakes, it's the Sewn sisters.
Fantastic.
You sound like some old vaudeville act, right? The Sewn sisters. Let's have a big hand.
It's my Lawrence Welk impersonation.
Very nice. You did a good job. So this weekend, I wish we had a theme for you guys. Let's see if I have something hanging around. How about this one?
This is outrageous!
Chicken shit money.
That's not very nice.
No, that's not us.
That is not a great
chicken was in there, but that's all I got.
I'll get you another one sometime. So Kim told me last night that you guys wanted to discuss the benefits of, let's call it an alternate What do you,
alternate protein source.
Sure. Something people don't normally think of initially, and that is quinoa.
Yes.
So lately you've been making me a lot of quinoa food.
Yeah, we've been experimenting with it to see what we can do with it and what we like it with and things like that. So far, I haven't found anything we didn't like.
Well, it turns out, this is crazy. The other day, I was just like, I got to have something, but it's got to be small and easy or whatever. And you put together a small bowl of, is it just standard quinoa?
It's just the white.
Straight up white. Straight. Whatever.
Straight up quinoa.
Vanilla quinoa, but not the flavor. We mean the average. And green beans from a can.
Yep.
Just canned green beans.
You can have those. They're not as much fiber in them. And stuff.
Right. A little bit of salt, a little bit of pepper. Mm-hmm. That was rad.
Yeah.
It was really, really good. Like, I'm craving
simple.
It now.
It took, because I cooked the quinoa, I made a big batch of it earlier in the week.
Yeah.
We had it in the refrigerator. It never really went funky. You know, some things do after a few days.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's super simple. I was actually started throwing like a big scoop of it on top of a salad, a green salad for you for lunch. And it was really good.
It reminded me of the consistency of it is the like tiny little rings almost.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The fact that those things stay kind of whole and create kind of like a nice bulk to whatever food you're eating, mm-hmm. it's just the weirdest. To me, it's weird because I don't think I've ever had that until lately.
Yeah, and it takes on whatever flavor you cook with it or for it.
Sarah, you're a fan as well?
I love it. No. Yeah, we've made a little bit, but not a ton until you've made it this last
recently.
Week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Until Scott's diet has changed it all.
That's true. It's all chicken and quinoa now.
Mm.
So what?
In a good way.
Give me a good, what's a good simple recipe people can throw together that's...
Well, you can use it like a rice.
Yeah.
So that's what we've done a little more.
You couldn't make sushi with it, could you?
I don't think it would get
hold,
sticky.
Would it?
No. I don't think it has enough starch to do sticky.
Yeah, you could probably add something to it.
Yeah, the
vinegar
and sugar.
I know that they
sugar.
Do something for sticky rice, mm-hmm. but...
Some dude here.
That'd be interesting. I don't know.
It's just so puffy and I don't know.
Yeah.
It's pretty loose. It's not sticky.
It reminds me of...
like polenta or...
Well, do you remember Magic Sand polenta, when we were kids? Where you could put it in the water
Brian's
and then pull it out.
Brian's all thinking of food and you're like, Magic Sand.
To me, it has a really odd consistency. Like, it's not a bad texture or consistency. It's just weird.
Sand in there. Yeah.
No.
Well, yeah.
It's lighter and it kind of fluffs up with a fork like some rices do.
Yeah. And anyway, I just love it. So, sorry, I interrupted.
No,
give us a good thing. What's something good to have in there?
Well, there's a lot of recipes you can use. Like I said, it takes on the flavor of what you cook it with. So what I made this week, instead of cooking it with water, I cooked with chicken broth.
Mm.
Add a little salt and pepper to that, and it's kind of just a good flavor.
Like
a little
base.
Salty.
Any vegetables you want to add to it, whether tomatoes, cucumbers. I've seen them do a cold one, like, cucumbers, tomatoes.
A tabbouleh.
Olives. Yeah, more of a tabbouleh.
A cold one. What's that? Mm-hmm. What's a tabbouleh?
Like a cold salad.
Oh.
Like a quinoa salad, kind of like you'd add vegetables to it and... Kind of a dressing. Like
well, you did that the other day too with the salad. Mm-hmm. You dumped it all over the top of that salad. It sounds terrible to dump it on there, but it was fan freaking tastic. Like I'm
this
a convert.
Tabbouleh is more of a you make like a pasta salad when you add all the vegetables and everything, but you use the quinoa instead of a pasta.
But these names quinoa tabbouleh.
I know.
Like rice is a cool
appetizing.
Name. No, they're not, are they? It makes me feel like a slight Frenchman or something. I don't like
a
any
slight Frenchman.
Yeah, like a little wimpy man eating my tabbouleh.
No, the more you go down this road, though, I think the more you'll find all these to be common names, in food.
So you
get used to it.
As you get healthier, it's just you research it, and that's what'll come up. All these kinds of different.
Could you do rice and beans with it instead of rice?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Could you do? We already ruled that sushi. Hold on.
Brian, what's up, Brian?
I just like that he's coming up. All right, could you do this?
I've actually heard you can make cookies with it. Taylor had cookies last week made with it, and she said it was like no bake cookies.
What do you call those? Just no bake tabbouleh.
Yes.
No bake quinoa cookies.
Kabuki cookies.
She said they tasted like no bake cookies, and so they were kind of crunchy. They kind of pop in your mouth a little bit.
Yeah.
The quinoa.
It sounds bad, but it's really good.
Yeah.
All right.
I
do
you
it.
Describe it, the less appetizing it sounds.
The problem I have with it is rice fills me up and I feel like I'm full, like after a few spoonfuls. I eat quinoa and I feel like I could go for 10 hours eating it.
That's the thing is quinoa, that's what it's known for. It's like actually a weight loss food because it fills you up with less of it.
Oh, it does?
It's fewer calories than things like rice. So
but I feel like I'm eating more of it though.
Well, you probably aren't. You're like she puts what maybe a half a cup on a salad.
Yeah, it's not.
And
very
it
much.
Seems like a lot because it spreads out.
Yeah,
but it's not. a ton, and it takes you longer to chew it. So,
and you can get this stuff pre-cooked. You can get the kind you have to cook. You can get the little pre-cooked pouches at like the Costco and the Walmarts. Yeah,
at the Walmarts.
Down
Did you know
Walmarts.
It reduces migraines?
It reduces migraines.
Yes.
Now you used to get migraines. Yes, you don't really get them like you used to, right? Occasionally you do.
Occasionally.
So do you go, oh, my head, and then sit down to a big bowl of quinoa?
No, I don't, but reading this, it was interesting. Quinoa. I thought I should definitely eat more quinoa.
You roll them up in little balls and swallow them.
Little pills.
Little pills.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, nice. Good. I love that stuff. So,
it increases blood flow. That's why you reduce migraines with that.
There's no gluten in it?
No.
Well, because it's not wheat.
It's gluten-free, yeah.
So it grows like a regular grain? Like there's some place there are fields of this stuff waving,
there
right?
There must be.
Must be. I would like to. I'm going to learn.
We should look into that.
Well,
if we can grow it ourselves.
If we only had a giant worldwide network of interconnected computers that could tell us.
At our fingertips.
Yeah, if we could just do that, that would be great.
Yeah.
Anything else going on that you guys want to mention?
We are going to try a flourless cake this week.
Ooh, I'm into that.
Oh, my goodness.
Hold on. No, I'm not into that. That's gross, isn't it?
Why? No, it's not.
No.
Hold on, Brian. You've had this?
You can make it. I have had flourless cake, and it's. It's fine. Just fine.
It's just fine.
But isn't it all just heavy, fun. Like a big thick brick
it's
of
a little,
cake?
It's a little denser, but nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Better for
it's
you?
A good thick tort.
It's a thick tort. Yeah.
A tort.
What the hell's a tort?
I made with more cocoa and...
It's a tort. I don't know what a tort is.
It's less fluffy, more chocolate.
Internet. Yeah, like a denser cake is a tort.
Oh. Well, I call that a brownie. Where are you people from?
It's different. It really is. I had one on the cruise that, oh, it was so good.
Oh, yeah. So here's the, cruise. Is cruise food these days, like, are there healthy options there?
There are.
They do make that for people?
They have to be, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not all fat. But the night when you go to dinner,
yeah,
that was what was so fun because it's. There's tiny little portions, which is surprising, but you can try so many different things. So they come out with these tiny little portions of unique, delicious food.
Little Peter Dinklage size food.
Yes.
Oh,
what?
That's what you would
He's not going to sit down and eat a steak like me, is he?
Probably.
Well, I don't know.
Maybe not like you.
Well, that's because Scott's not eating steak.
Yeah, quit reminding me. I can't eat steak anymore. I need to eat beef flavored things.
Have a flourless steak.
Oh, yummy.
Hey, Brian, that's called
quinoa.
A tort. Get it straight.
Quinoa
steak. That does not sound good. Well, let us know how that goes. Are we going to get to eat it?
You'll know how it goes. Okay. Because you'll get some.
We'll share it on the show next week.
Okay.
I think that's it. Geek food. It can be found at frogpants.com/geekfood. And if you're not listening to the podcast, then you're crazy because it's usually the girls and then me and Steve now.
Yeah.
All hanging out, talking about food, laughing about food news, making fun of stuff.
That's like really what it's all about.
Yeah, if you can't get enough of us here, then listen to it there. Thank you, ladies. Have a fantastic day.
Try quinoa.
Go make a quinoa thing.
We will. Have a great week.
A tort.
Something. There we are. Well, Brian, that brings us to emails. Should we do emails?
Emails.
Brought to you by...
Scroll. Emails are brought to you by Current Geek. Current Geek. Guess who was on last Friday? Why, me, Brian Ibbett, and Barry Ricks, the Closet Geek. Get it now, currentgeek.com for details.
Yes.
I have
Current Geek.
Remember that? Yeah.
Just like that.
You guys were great on there. Really enjoyed
it. Thanks. Oh, that was such a fun time. And my prediction came true instantly. That's how good I am.
I know.
Yeah.
That was great. Of course, you know, thank goodness Tom thinks to look at these things while we're all talking. Yeah.
Thanks, Tom.
Yeah, thanks, buddy.
Thanks for doing it during the show.
I got an email from Robert in Henderson. He says, howdy, Scott and Brian. Are you two cannibals? Just curious. So last week we had an email about somebody asked if we were gay.
Right.
Now this one's asking another. He's not comparing gays to cannibals. Can we just get that out there? He's saying what other... completely off the wall question can we ask that makes no sense. So there you go. Props to Robert.
And no.
No, we're not. No, as far as I know.
No.
I mean, I once...
People are very fattening, and so I'm really on a low-calorie diet. So
the only
pets, yes, but not people.
The only meat I eat now is the brain from... What's his name? Can't think of his name. So there goes my whole joke. Guy from
Ray Liotta.
Ray Liotta. Ray Liotta's brain. Yeah, I forgot he made a kid. I forgot he made a kid eat that in the plane. Do you remember that ending?
Oh no, I didn't.
Yeah, he leaves all that. He escapes again, so he's on the run. Mm-hmm. It was an old movie, guys, so don't act like I'm spoiling it. But he's on the plane, and some little kid's all curious about his food, and he wants to taste what he has there, and he opens this little Tupperware dish up, and it's Ray Liotta's cooked brain in there. And the kid just starts munching down on it.
Ugh.
Yeah.
It's like jerky.
This is pretty good.
Dear Bubble and Squeak, says Chaz in London.
All right.
I hated my mom's hair, but I thought Sonny was cool. No, I'm not. Dear Bubble and Squeak, I was listening to TMS from Tuesday, March 18th, and when I was shocked to hear Jury say, finally, these suckers get it, because you know they're not cool with black people. Like there's none of them there. There's a five black people in the UK. There's like five black people in the UK, unquote. All right, this was Jury.
Yes.
I know that Jury often has an irreverent style to his segment, but this struck me as being very ignorant of the ethnic makeup of the UK and the way we deal with the issue. All right, fair enough. Let's keep going here. Mm-hmm. I can't talk. London, for example, is one of the most ethnically diverse cities in the world. Only 45% of its population are classified as white British, meaning in London alone, there are 5 million people who are not considered white British. Interestingly, there are four times as many black people in London alone than the entire state of Utah and Colorado combined. Well, I don't doubt that. But you could say that about New York or LA or anywhere else. So it's not just London. Anyway, I won't go on, but I felt the need to get this off my chest. It really struck a nerve. Fond of your audio presentation, however, Chaz in London, UK. I don't think what Justin was saying was that there are literally only five people in Britain. He was saying there is still racism there, and so regardless of population or division of percentage of population,
right?
That's not the issue. The issue is there still racist tendencies in the white population? And he was arguing that there was.
20% of the black Spice Girls were black.
Oh, hey. Look at it. That's progress.
20% of the black girls were Spice. Let me retry that joke.
I had a dream. I forgot to tell you about this. 2 days ago, had a dream. Well, I couldn't have told you because we didn't have a show 2 days ago.
Right, right.
But I had a dream that all the presidents ever in our country were black, and we now had our first white one. And it was weird.
Wow, what a weirdly, you know, there's like a weirdly metaphysical kind of philosophical dream there.
Look at the brain on Brad.
Mm-hmm.
I was really weirded out by it, and it was interesting because the whole conversation had flipped. Like nobody was sure if they could trust this white guy to do this job. Like it was a really weird thing. Think of it from that perspective, everybody. Think about that for a minute. Okay. Finally, email. Kristen, a.k.a. Kitten Angel, says, hey, guys, I'm about a week behind listening to the show, so you may have already gotten plenty of responses on this, but in case you haven't, I wanted to help you out with the legal limit for commercial, like, truck drivers. Remember we were talking about how much alcohol can a truck driver have compared to everybody else? By that phrase, they are referring to commercial drivers. As a truck driver, I'm not allowed to have even a drop of alcohol within 24 hours of starting a driving shift. So there is no like higher limit, lower limit, any of that. Not a single bit of alcohol can be in your system. And if I were to be pulled over and found to have any alcohol at all in my bloodstream, I would be put out of service and probably lose my commercial license to drive. So that's what they meant. Although your whiskey tasting company scenario was infinitely more amusing. I have immense affection for the show, though. Christian, a.k.a. Kitten Angel. So there you go. A little clarification there from someone who's doing it.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, Kristen.
Not doing the drinking, but doing the driving.
You're the first one. Is it Christian or Kristen?
Kristen. Okay. Would be my guess because there's no I.
Is it a lady driver? Look at me being all sexist. I thought it was a dude.
Who knows? I mean, the name Kitten Angel. Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, I was being sexist. I assumed, you know, because I have the stereotype in my head that all truck drivers are dudes.
Sure.
That's not good. But oh well, what are you going to do? Moving on. Thank you, Kristen. Man or woman, we think you're great. And don't drink is the answer there. we're done. We have completed a program. We're done. We're out. We're done. There are people over there pointing at me saying you're done. So we're done.
Wow. Are they doing the finger across the neck thing to say
cut
over and out?
Nope. It's actually, now that I look harder, it's Han Solo. It's a cardboard cutout and it's him aiming his blaster at me. So never mind.
Gotcha. Close enough.
Let's get out of here. Before we do, quick note to people who want Nerdtacular tickets. We talked about it earlier. Go to nerdtacular.com. Hurry it up. You got to get them now while they're available. Plenty of rooms available, but the tickets are going fast. So we want to see you in July. That means you, people. Frog Pants.
Amazing stuff we've got planned.
Yeah.
Double Clicks, Andrew Allen, Battle of the Frog Pants, All-Stars, Film Sack.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday Morning Stream, and those are just the things I'm involved with.
Yeah, those are the things Brian's in doing. There's plenty more coming.
There's lots more than that.
We have multiple tracks this year, so we've got smart people doing smart things over the place. It's going to be all gooey with smart.
It's going to be so cool.
I'm very excited. So there you go. Check us out there. Also, frogpants.com/TMS is our website. TheMorningStream@gmail.com is our email address. At MorningStream, at Scott Johnson, or at Coverville will get us all on Twitter. That's going to do it. Brian, why don't we have a little song here?
A song? How about something going out to a geek girl, a.k.a. Jessica Hips?
Okay.
Good morning, Scott and Brian. Just to make Twitch happy, and because this is Amazeballs, I want to request Peter Holland's World of Warcraft medley. Thanks, geek girl, a.k.a. Jessica Hips. So, actually, she's going to have a booth there at Nerdtacular.
She sure is.
Segueing nicely into discussion there.
Yeah.
This just came out. Actually, it's Peter Hollins doing an a cappella version of a few songs from World of Warcraft, not, of course, including the opening theme song. I said not including, but it is including that. It's really, really good. And this is one of those things that works well without the video. A lot of people request stuff and it's like, yeah, that kind of requires the video to really enjoy it. This one doesn't. This is great. Peter Hollins, World of Warcraft medley.
All right, here it is. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new show. Jury Duty, Chinbeard, gosh, who else? Whoever else wants to be here, they'll be here. Don't you worry your little heads. It's wow.
They'll be here.
Yeah. Be here or be smear. It's World of Warcraft, the medley, the a cappella version. Bye now.
Podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Jag ska hitta hotet.